For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Rossap. It is January 3rd, 2024. We are here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review, and it's a good one. A lot of newsworthy stuff, some slapper matches. This was a phenomenal Dynamite that featured some of my favorite stuff that they've done in a long time, if not ever. Yeah. We're going to ask you guys to leave a thumbs up on this video. Share it on social media. We would greatly appreciate if you guys would do that. But if you want your questions or statements read on the air, donate a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. We are here doing post shows, quite frankly, every night. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, ROH, Collision, Impact. We're here all the time. We've got news shows multiple times a week. We've got interviews. This week we dropped Allen Angels of TNA. Just tons of stuff. Last week, we dropped Deonna Purrazzo's last interview before she joined AEW. I'll brag about Fightful Select momentarily, but that's also where you can find this fella multiple times a week. He'll be telling you about a new series that he has later on. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing well. They are in the process of restoring the feeling. I am very excited for these next couple of months leading into Revolution. It does feel like they have a concrete plan for a lot of things. I thought that the middle of World's End was, let's say, nothing to write home about, but the last few matches were really great, and I am actually a big fan of where they're going with this devil thing. So I'm looking forward to the first half of 2024 for AEW.
I'm so excited. Just so excited. Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. FightfulSelect.com. $5 a month gets you, quite frankly, more exclusive news than you're going to get anywhere. And even if we don't break the news, we're going to have a ton of details for you. But in addition to that, we got Q&A shows, review shows, 40 extra shows a month over there. In addition, we also give you more free podcasts and wrestling content than any other website out there. So proud of what we've done with Fightful, and so glad to have you guys here with us. But the big story of today, Deonna Purrazzo was in talks with with AEW. Well, she had a little bit of chatter with WWE as well, but we will be talking about that later as I get the hiccups. We have Paul saying, when does Fight or voting close for the Fightful Awards? I was actually telling Alex about some of the prospective winners over here. The voting goes through the end of Friday. So Friday night at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, the voting will close. But if you're a subscriber of Fightful Select, you'll be able to vote. Thousands of votes already. And let me tell you, it is right down the line with WWE and AEW winners. Like, it is right down the middle, and I'm very, very happy about that. So, yeah, we'll be giving you all that stuff as well. But, man, get those super chats. Get those humper chats in. Boris says, this episode was incredible top to bottom. Such a massive reset and statement for 2024. Alex, I feel like they needed this. The last few matches of World's End delivered pretty well. But I think they needed a Dynamite like this. And I'll tell you what I liked about this Dynamite. I'm not saying that I liked no MJF, but it was fresh. You saw the world champion on the show at the very beginning. There was no Jericho. There was no Elite. This was them relying on a lot of other people that, quite frankly, they have now seen that they can rely on. I loved what happened here.
I really like that it is. It does feel like, particularly because MJF was the champ for over a year. Him losing the belt and now going away, we assume, for if not surgery, then a lot of rehab on that shoulder and other things. It does feel like a straight up reset, like it's the new season of AEW. And a cool way to do that at the beginning of a brand new calendar year. They've set up a lot of stuff going forward, and we can see that there are a lot of moving parts. And I love that it looks like we can say that we have a good idea of who we think is going to be the next so-and-so champion. But there are a lot of different branching pathways that they can choose along the way, and I like that a lot.
I'm really excited to be talking about this episode of Dynamite tonight because, you know, the restore the feeling thing that, funny enough, Daniel Garcia says all the time, really did restore the feeling. To me, this was a very, like, early or it was a fall 2019 type of feeling.
Right.
We've got Bako5 saying AEW hit a new gear tonight. Multiple and consistent stories, great wrestling, exciting promos and character progression. Things seem to be clicking. Before we get into this, Miguel sends a very generous super chat, and it's thankfully he did that. But he said, I know it's off topic, but with how The Rock teased a match versus Roman, do you think it's best to have Roman Cody night one, have Roman drop the belt, then have Roman Rock night two, have co-main Seth and Punk as the main?
No.
Also, I don't know what this means. Sean Ross learning how
to I've learned to just let those people scream into the void whenever they're doing something like that on my show.
I don't know what that.
I know, but because I remember you reporting for sure that Mercedes was going to debut tonight.
And oh, is so that what this is?
I think that's what this is about.
Is that that is?
I think that might be what they're driving.
Andrew, for. I beg of you, buddy. I beg of you, buddy. Please comment and confirm that that's what you meant. I beg of you, buddy. Please say yes, that is what I meant. Because and then type your little Twitter handle into the comments. That way everybody can show you how stupid you are. Don't ban him, Luis. What are you doing, Luis? Get him back in here. Get him back in here. Bring him back. Bring him back. What are we doing here? Listen, first off, I'm gonna rant about media literacy. Media literacy. People say, why are you being so vague? Guess what? I don't get to look at Deonna Purrazzo's contract before she shows up. Get to physically watch Mercedes Moné sign her contract. Hey, here's the report. She was talking with WWE. She stopped. She's been talking with AEW. She's expected by everybody in the industry to head there. When? Well, we didn't report when. We didn't report when because I don't know the answer to that yet. But she's expected to go there. I promise you guys, you do not get to choose your own adventure with what people report. And if you think this is bad, you should follow a real sport. Because last month, I was so excited for the Blue Jays, a team that is very near and dear to my heart, to land Shohei Ohtani. He was on a plane.
No, he was. Everybody said so. Everybody said he was on the plane.
You know who said so? The official Major League Baseball Twitter account.
Yes.
Said so.
Yes.
They retweeted it. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Meanwhile, I got WWE out here calling me internet rumors. What?
That's your
I'm
going to
hit him with a drop toe hold. Buddy. Look, that boy got the hell out of here. Luis hit him with the ban hammer. But anyway, no, I don't think that the idea of planning two Roman Reigns matches at all is the right idea. And Andrew says he loves to trigger me. Well, guess what? Now you are banned, bitch.
No,
see ya.
No, there you go.
I don't think you can plan two matches of that magnitude and expect them to go off without a hitch. No. It has been abundantly clear that WWE has not needed Roman Reigns as champion since WrestleMania.
Right, right. I know.
He didn't need the belt. He didn't need to win. Cody should have won then. The only thing that I will say of that stead is at least when he wins now, boy, are there a lot more very, very over talent for him to compete against. There is, you know, Damian Priest and Judgment Day have been over, and Gunther and Cody is a pay-per-view main event.
Right.
I watched The Rock get blown up after a people's elbow.
Agreed.
And I heard an idea today, Alex, from one of our readers that I thought was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Integrate The Rock into WrestleMania, but sort of as the host of WrestleMania.
Hmm.
Cody beats Roman Reigns for the title.
Mm-hmm.
And you always know how Hogan would be like, everybody was looking at me when I left and Warrior won, brother. No, they weren't. People were very excited for Warrior to win, but Hogan was the guy, so they watched him.
Sure.
When Roman loses, there is going to be a massive focus on Roman. There has to be. He's the main character of the show.
Right. Sure.
Cody gets his big celebration, and I wish I could remember who said it. And then The Rock kind of takes the lay from him afterwards.
Mm.
And he's like, this isn't yours. It's never been yours. Mm. He's like, I've been giving you bit parts in my movies. I've always been the provider.
Right. Mm.
And then you set it up for some other time. I'm sorry. I cannot deal with Cody not being champion and Roman being champion unless we get some news that Roman's going to be around a lot more. That's it.
Right. Roman will surpass Bruno's second reign in a few weeks to become fourth all-time longest reign. He will surpass Hulk Hogan in September. Let me tell you, he's definitely going to beat Hulk Hogan. They're going to keep it on him through next year's WrestleMania. I would rather him beat Rock than have him beat Cody again. So I do believe that they're keeping it on him for one more year. I would not be surprised at all if that was the case. So we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, man.
Somebody paid us a lot of money to answer that question. That's what show
and,
this is.
And I will. You know what? We cover a little bit of everything, and we really thank you guys. Oscar says, oh, whoa. Luis says, speaking of free agents, Josh Alexander called out Alex Hammerstone for hard to kill.
Wow.
Whoa. That's crazy. Humpage right there.
Yep.
That is some holy shit. Let me, oh boy. Damn. We got Oscar saying, also, y'all need to watch the AEW fight feed. Commentary during Picture-in-Picture is god tier. Well, buddy, guess what? I do, thanks to NordVPN. I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it, but I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet, global server network, all that good stuff. That's great, but a big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy, all the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network, maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful. We got Marco Dominguez saying, bring back media literacy, restore the feeling. I'm going to go in on that a little bit more during the Deanna thing. But
yeah,
I'm very passionate about that. And there are reasons, especially these days, that we have to say things in the way that we said it. Sure. Paul says, fan of NordVPN, but what country and app do I use for UFC fights? Have a hard time finding UFC specifically. You know what? I've got a list of them on my PC. If you could drop me a message, I'll be able to find them. But also NordVPN, their 24/7 tech support will help it as well, or will help you as well. Australia. Oh, I think Luis is typing Australia. There you go. Boy, crikey, mate. I don't like anybody from there. You know what? Don't like it. TF says, I don't know if you've seen, but Monet's New Japan Stardom theme has been deleted on some platforms. Could this mean anything? I don't know if that means anything, but I can tell you that she was expected to go to AEW as of this past weekend. I mean, that's quite frankly why WWE was probably very excited to let me know that they were no longer in talks with her, because they probably got a hunch that she was heading to AEW. Samoa Joe promo. I love it. It's just a quick comment. Here he is. You're going to see him next week. All that good stuff. A great approach here. And this show didn't need anything that wasn't on it necessarily. Right. From what I saw, I thought this was great, because next week they're back home at Daly's Place. I was reminded this week, this will be the first Daly's Place show for a whole lot of people. And it's weird to think that that will be the case. But yeah, Samoa Joe will be back next week. I love this opening promo.
He's great. He's everything he says feels completely off the cuff. I feel like most of it is improvised, but everything just feels like it's just him having this thought and communicating it to you. And but I love that even when it's not scripted, the through line of it, it's always like a theme. You took this from me, so I had to take this from you. Like, there was this thing, he always crafts such a beautiful through line to all of his promos where everything is tied back to the same theme, but it always seems entirely off the cuff. I love Samoa Joe.
I thought this went really, really great. We've got New Lack City saying, what's the issue with Santana? Already lost his friendship with Ortiz. Always angry with AEW. Is it just a matter of time till he leaves? Can't see them pushing him with this attitude. Personally, yeah, I think so. I've always gotten along with Santana, and he is still there. But, I mean, I do wish that his feud with Ortiz would have gotten a better sort a better light cast on it, although it was an integral thing on Rampage for those of you who actually watched that. But
I
had heard a while back that Santana and Ortiz couldn't get along. They just didn't want to team together anymore. But I respect that they were like, you know what, we need to probably work together against each other.
Yeah.
The Devils are the undisputed kingdom. They came out and they sort of quite literally did the Scooby-Doo. They pulled off their masks, revealed their evil plot and plan. And Adam Cole's not wrong. Hmm. MJF probably would have done this.
Oh, absolutely.
The moment that he had that happen.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah.
There's we'll have to see what the rehab process for both of these guys is, how long they will both be out. But I'll tell you, the ideal thing would be to somehow for them to have the grudge match at All In a year after they had that match against each other as friends, or at least Adam Cole pretending to be MJF's friend. There's a lot there. And I want them to be orbiting each other for years if they're both in this company, to the point where MJF does turn heel again. Adam Cole can do the "I told you so," "I told you so," "I told you he was going to do it again." And there's a lot of cool stuff there. I think Adam Cole is very easygoing in these promos where he can be the villain. This is some cool stuff. My favorite part of all of this was Wardlow's been betrayed by everybody he's ever associated with, but not us. Not us. We won't betray him. We will simply ask him to secure the greatest prize in our sport and then hand it over to me when I tell him to. And I was like, okay. And then Wardlow up, I was like, sure, I'm going to.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. Wardlow's in it because he associates with these guys because he knows it's his easiest path to destroying MJF, who he legitimately does hate. But also, there's no way I'm giving you this title, Adam. I'm not going to touch your face for now, but there's no way I'm giving you this title when I win it. It's great. Great.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're Wardlow, you know the trial and error of being the muscle in one of these groups.
Absolutely.
And you have watched it unfold for 5 years now.
Yeah.
So I saw some people that were like, oh, well, they had me until this. I was like, no, this is Wardlow being like, I didn't even really know you guys until this. I'm the odd one out. I should be Bobby Fish or Kyle O'Reilly right now, but I'm Wardlow and I'm in this group. It is pretty impressive how good Adam Cole is at playing a piece of shit, because he is sincerely the most wonderful guy you'll ever meet in wrestling. He's the nicest guy.
He really is.
JP says Cole was fantastic on the mic tonight. Loved Wardlow teasing his turn already. He's been pretty clear about what he wants, and
I also love that they named Roderick going after the international title, because OC versus Roderick Strong, Strong, not playing goofy Roderick Strong, is something I could really get behind.
So it's pretty clear they have Adam Cole as the mouthpiece right now, Roddy Strong as the international title guy. You've got Wardlow going after the world title, and you've got your tag team that are the ROH tag team champions. Mike Bennett, another one of the nicest guys in wrestling, who is very good at playing an absolute jackass. Shot Kid says Adam Cole is clearly giddy to be AEW's version of Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2, his favorite video game character. Speaking of, there was a big tease about WBD today, and I was told it's not wrestling related. It's likely video game related or something of that. Guys, we are not going to discuss like allegations and all that type of stuff on this show. We've covered that ad nauseum. So if you send a super chat about that, you can send something else. We will cover that on something that isn't a general show review like this. And we covered it on World's End. We covered it on Monday. We covered it on In the Weeds. We have covered it exhaustively.
Yeah.
Brent Lottman says Cole is finally getting to involve his handsome inner Jack. Yep. That's we got multiple of those. Right. And it's one of those situations where I think that him sitting in the chair works really, really well.
Yeah, it honestly really does. I like it.
It gives
a
really good heelish vibe.
It does. There was something about the reveal at World's End where they were going to hit him with a chair, goes black, and then when the lights come back up, he's just sitting in the chair, head bowed. Like, it was, he has to sit because of the ankle injury. But what a happy accident that you can actually have this. It adds so much because nobody else sits in a folding chair while giving promos in the ring. This makes him unique. It adds this air of nonchalance of I don't even need to stand to address you. He can't stand because of the ankle, But if you don't, if you're not looking at the ankle, it just gives off better than you, baby. You know what I mean? There's this really cool thing there. I like it a lot.
To Dong Vallis, if you do have another super chat to send, you don't have to send a super chat. Just comment something else in our comment box, and Luis will pick it up for you. But again, we've just covered that exhaustively and have no new information to provide there. Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaim to target the Undisputed Kingdom. I saw some people that were like, is this their first feud? Well, MJF is gone. They said he's not coming back, which isn't true. He'll be back. He's taking time away.
Yeah, he's got an injury to rehab. Like
serious injury.
Yeah, like, so when he's healthy, he'll come back.
The level of pain in which that guy was in last week was unbelievable. From what I had people saying that they were shocked he could even drop the tag titles. Like they were shocked he could get through that. And I thought he put on a good match with Samoa Joe and a good story as well. With the Acclaimed, I saw you mention that you'd be for it if they dropped the Trios titles, but I don't know if they will here based on the designation that everybody has. Their involvement made sense though, because they have been attacked. Bullet Club Gold have been attacked. So These people had to come back for vengeance. They had to.
Oh, sure. But Acclaimed coming back to get vengeance on the devils, as well as Jay White coming out and cutting a promo. I actually love what you did to MJF, but what I don't like is being collateral damage in your little plot, which is great. This is the kind of wrapping up loose ends in a story that needs to be done across the board in every wrestling promotion. Like Jay White would hate Adam Cole, but also Jay White and the Guns have no love for the Acclaimed. They're not going to like, hey, us six against those three guys, we'll beat them up together. They don't like each other. So what I'm thinking is we might get a three corners trios match somewhere in there where the devils don't factor in the decision. And we get Jay White and the Guns, especially with Juice out, putting a title around the waist of Jay White is always a good idea. And I do think that the Acclaimed, though they remain over, haven't done anything as trios champs. I thought that they told a really good story leading up to them taking the titles from House of Black at All In. But since then, it's been like 5 months and they've done nothing as champs. So I'm kind of ready for that reign to end and do something brand new with it. We're doing a lot of resets. Reset that too.
We've got Mr. Bootbull saying, I'll happily die on this hill alone, but think the best story is for Cody to never win the title. No, that is not the best story, because we already did that story. It was called his entire All Elite Wrestling run. Right. We've already done that one. Tom LaValle says the chair can be for Cole and to wail on someone.
True.
And Eric says Adam Cole is the only one that I know made Jay White turn face. Yeah, I mean, Jay White is enough of a son of a bitch to where it's hard to do that, but he did it. Orange Cassidy defeated Dante Martin, the international title. This is sort of, you know, a return to that Orange Cassidy run, and who knows if this second one was ever really supposed to happen. Right. But, you know, a series of events unfolded, and we ended up getting Dante Martin and, you know, some stuff after that. But what did you think of the match itself?
Well, you know, it's so good to have Dante back and looking like old Dante. That was one of those things where you look at that injury that he suffered and go, I wonder if he's ever going to be able to be the kid that we thought he was, like, because he's still so young, but he was so young doing this amazing stuff in the ring in AEW. And then the injury happened. It was so gruesome. And some people just never recover from a thing like that. And he's back. And he looks like he still has that bright future ahead of him. And this was a lot of fun. But, you know, Orange Cassidy is still bulletproof for a while, it looks like. I don't know what the plans are for this, because, as you said, he may never have gotten that title back if it had not been for the Mox head injury against Phoenix. So there's a lot to like about this match and about them giving Dante Martin a spotlight. And I do like the idea, just on paper, of at least the feud between OC and Roddy Strong, if not putting the title on Roddy Strong as well.
Private Party, you're back. And it made me very happy to hear this reaction. By the way, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. I'll let you know about a month or so ago that Mark Quinn was good to go. AEW has a pretty exhaustive process right now for clearing up, clearing talent, and that had been gone for a while. So Mark Quinn, it did take a while. Sawyer says, private party called out the Bucks. Anything to read into that? Return soon. I would imagine sooner than later, yeah. So glad Quinn is back. Missed that entrance. Well, the crowd was very happy. They did not forget who Private Party were. They were welcoming him back. This was just good to see. A team that we thought already would have reached heights that it just hasn't yet. Mm-hmm. They also called out the Hardys, who obviously they have been connected to for quite some time. I was just happy to see this.
I love Private Party. I think it's really cool. Let's rebuild this tag division as well. Let's get a bunch of people in there that feel like real tag teams, and have let's do a tag team turmoil or something to get tag title, to get tag contenders that, just for my sake, aren't Jericho related, and then we could get Big Bill and Ricky, who I love, doing more stuff on both shows, because the tag titles, AEW was, a lot of it was founded on amazing tag team wrestling. And I believe that Ricky and Big Bill can do that kind of wrestling, and they're just floating, not doing anything right now. So I want to see them do more.
Yeah, because of the Kenny Omega stuff, there hasn't been a ton of follow-up for what Ricky and Big Bill are doing outside of, you know, making some jokes. I mean, the Big Bill thing last week, talking about diverticulitis, was pretty funny, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I want to see more of a focus on that, even though Ricky should be a single star right now. And you know what? I'd also love to see the tag team division restored to where, when two people were in the tag team division, it wasn't a step back. Like Kenny Omega and Hangman were there.
Yeah.
And we would go, hell yeah. It's just how things have been of late. And I'm sure that in their mind, they looked at Jericho and Omega and thought, okay, two former world champions. We're really, it's just, there's been such a, with that for a while. And it hasn't been booked that way. The Acclaimed were not booked that way. The Guns were not booked that way as like top guys. Swerve and Our Glory had some slapper matches, but you know, their reign wasn't long enough for them to be booked that way.
Right.
Meet Normus says, I was at the first Dynamite where Private Party beat the Bucks. Really thought they would have won the belts by now. Yeah, and in some instances, situations beyond their control, but I feel like there is a little something that they need to really explode. Sure. Sort of like what we saw with Tony Storm, like what we saw years ago with Swerve. A little something that will make them reach that next level.
Yeah.
Balab says, shot. So glad to see Quinn finally back. Restore the feeling in the tag division. House of Black are trying to restore the feeling. We saw Buddy and Malachi talking. Alex, I couldn't hear much of what Malachi said because the music was so damn loud.
Yeah, it was weird. He basically, the threat levied here by House of Black guarantees that they lose the match on Saturday, which I always hate when they do that, because honestly, I would not have objected to see a long feud between these two and maybe more and more of this. But FTR, when they lose, so saith Malachi, they will have to disown their families and anyone that they love and join the House of Black. And I feel like that's not a thing that's going to happen. So FTR's winning in North Carolina, as they probably should. But I think this match is going to be amazing, and we'll see where that goes after that.
We also had the Toni Storm interview before Mariah May's match. She is going out on the town. Dong Phallus says, I was at World's End, least favorite AEW pay-per-view, and this is one of my favorite Dynamites. Likewise. It says, do you think TK will start booking hot acts like Swerve or Storm and Swerve against heels? Crowd dynamics were off. I think Swerve will be against people that are borderline. He's going to get babyface reactions though. Yep. But against Hangman, I think he'll get the appropriate reaction.
Right.
We'll Tony see. Storm. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I say we'll see. Like, that guy's incredibly over in a way that very few people who even lean heel ever are. Again, he implied threatening murder on Hangman's infant. I do not know if he's actually ever going to get booed.
Yeah.
There's some of the good stuff, but I also think that there's ways of doing that, because Swerve is just too confident to care who he's fighting. Heel, face, whatever. And Toni Storm literally doesn't know what day of the week it is. Put somebody in front of her, have her cut a promo on them and fight them. Like, there's a lot of great stuff you can do with them as tweeners for very different reasons. I hope that they figure out a way to get them the appropriate response in that way.
Let me tell you about what I liked. Mariah May against Queen Aminata. Queen Aminata, who has been out of the ring for quite a while, up until like last month, had wrestled on Rampage before, has been associated with AEW for quite some time, but this was her first Dynamite match. And if you're going to lose your first Dynamite match, this is how you do it. This was to be a showcase for Mariah May, and I saw a lot of people talking about Queen Aminata as well. This was great. Eloquent says, need that graphic as well. Matthew Hook says, Mariah May is a star. AEW feels refreshed. GT Gear says, Mariah May is amazing. When can we expect Mercedes? I have to be careful about what I say, because if I just say something, people will say it is fact, which we're going to get into, and I will address that with the Deonna thing. Sawyer says AEW is firing on all cylinders tonight. Every segment was a home run, except for the Mariah match, which was quickly saved by the Virtuosa. Sawyer, I disagree. I love this match. I thought they knocked the living shit out of each other, Alex. Yeah.
Mariah May hit a dropkick in the first third of the match. I was like, where did that come from?
That front dropkick where Queen Aminata sold it with such a snap, and then Aminata just smacked the shit out of her repeatedly to the point to where my wife goes, I didn't even know if she knew this term. She goes, was that a receipt? I was like, Fantastic. Oh, my heart.
Fantastic.
Ryan says Mariah versus Aminata was match of the night. Great action. Crowd loved it. Then the Deonna debut. TK has two more gems for the Women's Continental Classic Infinity Gauntlet. Feels like we're headed that way with the returns, debuts, and signings. I don't even know if we were headed that way, but this might be one of those times where Tony looks at it and Tony is tournament happy. Tony is what I'll call him, to the point to where I'm like, no more tournaments throughout the year. Just the Owen, just the Continental Classic.
Yeah.
Think of something else. Think of another way, because you can't keep doing tournaments except another Continental Classic for the women. So he might look at that and say, hell yeah, brother. But I love this match. It did what Mariah May needed to do. It highlighted Queen Aminata, and that's before we even get to the post-match, Alex.
Right. I think that I think Queen Aminata is very promising. There's a lot of really great stuff, and we will see if they use her more in this way. There's somebody like a Queen Aminata at the stage of her career, at the stage of her being in on Dark and all this kind of stuff for years, and in being in this spot, if it was a male talent, we'd be like, we're going to see them signed. What is this, the beginning of a storyline of they can't quite get over the hump and then they do? But because we see these women come in, have a great short match, look really good, lose to the talent that's actually signed, and they go away. You know, will we start to see if they actually start expanding this women's division? And listen, you sign Perrazzo. If you do sign Mercedes Moné, you're not going to get away with doing one match on Dynamite and one match on Collision and one match on Rampage.
I don't think it will be.
You're not going to get away with that anymore. So the other feuds will be demanding screen time. So I think then you actually having somebody like Queen Aminata who you can bring in, maybe sign and use and have maybe as part of a stable of women or there to actually wrestle often to get, know you're going to get a good match out of the person you're actually telling the story with, because Queen Aminata is in there with her. Good stuff.
And I mean, this is like with Billy Starks and Athena just chilling on ROH.
I know, man.
just chilling on ROH.
Yep.
This is with, you know, like Trish Adora has been an ROH like semi-regular for a while. Lady Frost is just chilling on ROH right now. They have talent that is waiting. And yeah, Oscar says it is really dope to feel excited about what's to come with the women's division. Highlights in the ring were Mariah May and Takeshita for me. Oh yeah. And Aminata is on ROH tomorrow as well. So tune into our ROH post show here on Fightful. So Mariah May gets on the microphone and trashes New Jersey.
Which Toni Storm has already done as well.
So, I mean, she's trying to live up to Toni. And Deonna Purrazzo's new music hits. FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, reported today that AEW was Deonna Purrazzo's preferred landing spot, and they had been in talks. We will talk about the media literacy aspect of this first, because on Monday, actually on Friday, I reported that Mercedes Moné and WWE were no longer in talks. This came straight from the company. And, you know, they said that they walked away from talks because the terms are too far apart. People close to Mercedes said that they got lowballed. Big shocker. That's what happens whenever a conversation can't reach an agreement. One side thinks they got lowballed. The other one thinks that they're unrealistic. It's what happens. It doesn't speak to anybody's character or anything like that. Couldn't come to terms. Guess who also couldn't come to terms? A month ago, AEW and Mercedes had not come to terms. We'd reported that as of that time, the original working plans that we heard of were no longer in effect. That has changed. And as of this past weekend, Mercedes was expected by sources within TNA, WWE, and AEW, as well as many others around the industry, to head to AEW. I had heard some chatter that maybe tonight could be the night. However, I want to make this clear. At no point did Fightful ever report that. At no point, to my knowledge, did anyone on Fightful say, you got to watch this Wednesday, because that's why. I wouldn't have said that, because here's the thing. I don't know, and up until the day of, still won't know. Until I see a rundown or maybe a talent tells me or something like that, I won't know somebody's popping up on the show. I always thought, personally, Daly's Place was a more likely landing spot because of Tony's affinity for that and making those shows feel special. This is not me reporting that is happening, but to me, that makes an awful lot of sense. I also had said something on the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast today that got clipped into 50-second clips, and people said, backtracking, because I said, until she signs the contract, you just never say never on anything.
Right.
And that's just common sense. Hey, here, you know what? I can't spoil that one because that's the story I'm going to release this weekend. I was about to tell. Okay, there was another wrestler who had agreed to terms with the company and said, "Yeah, I'll go here." And then they said, "Nope," at the last minute, and went elsewhere. That can happen. It can always happen. I don't know officially that she signed on the dotted line. I know that as of right now, the working plan. Well, okay. As of this week, the working plan. Because again, I don't know right now. I don't got somebody texting me right this moment saying it. As of this week, the working plan was for Mercedes to go into AEW unless something falls through. There are some people that are like, oh, you're too vague. You're trying to cover all your bases. No shit, Sherlock, because I don't speak in absolutes. I ain't fucking Miss Cleo for the fifth time.
No.
Like, I don't have my eyes on the contract, so I can't sit here and say, yes, she is absolutely signed. Nobody from AEW has told me that she has signed. What they have told me is there's a working plan to use her. So that's what we report. Because if you go along and you say something that isn't, well, it's a lot harder to explain when something falls through or somebody comes back and says, oh, that's not exactly how it happened. We report it in a manner in which is safe to report. And there are some people who are like, oh, well, why don't you wait until you do know that it's signed? We're talking about pro wrestling here. This ain't the war, okay? We're not talking about the Jeff Epstein list here. We're talking about pro wrestling contracts. Chill. Ah, brother. I agree with you, SRS. Women's World Tag Belts this year. Once Mercedes joins the company, defended across strong AOA or AEW and ROH. Yeah, that's what I wanted, is world women's tag titles. That way they're defended across ROH, AEW. Yeah.
That'd be a good idea. I like it.
Deonna Purrazzo. Somebody said Jeff Epstein sounds too casual. It's the reference to the Conan skit, guys.
Yeah.
The Conan O'Brien skit.
Yeah.
Deonna Purrazzo's out there, and it made me so happy.
I'm so happy for her.
It made me so happy. Yeah. We had her last interview before she became a free agent. And she was very excited to be a free agent again.
Yeah.
And spoke very highly of the locker room in Impact Wrestling and all that. This was her her home state.
Mm-hmm.
Had a suspicion she wanted to debut here as well, because I mean, it's something special to her. Steve Macklin was in the crowd watching her as Kimmy, yeah, Sokol had posted that wonderful picture. But there were Deonna chants, there were New Jersey chants, and she told Mariah May that she was coming for Toni Storm. And Mariah said, I'm not her messenger. Why don't you tell her, bitch? And then slapped her in the face, mm-hmm, and ate a filthy big boot.
Filthy kid.
Big boot. Oh, my God. This was so good. This, yes, was so good. And I was so happy.
I love debuting her here on Dynamite, especially in New Jersey here. Because of this amazing pop that she got. That's awesome. And if indeed they debut Mercedes next week in Daly's place, like, what a dual shot to the arm for, you just got Thunder Rosa back. We anticipate, I'm assuming, a return of a Jamie Hayter in the future, a Britt Baker in the future. They've got this really great roster, and two current champions who are super over in different ways. There's a lot to like here.
I'm so excited for this. And something that I tweeted today, best case scenario, they've got Deonna, they also get Mercedes, they're getting back Serena and Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, Deeb coming back too. Yeah,
Britt and Jamie on the horizon. Boy, that is an awful lot. That is an awful lot to add. And from what I understand, if Mercedes was to come into the company, there'd be like the Mercedes segment and an additional women's segment. N. Simmons says, when they announced next week they're at Daily Place, I thought, okay, that's probably where she debuts. If she doesn't show up, then it's up in the air. Yeah, if Mercedes isn't on next week's Dynamite, then I've got no real idea. About that. And yes, to clarify, because people were weirded out by the Jeff Epstein thing, yes, it is a very popular clip where a guy pretends to not know what happened to Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeff Epstein, the New York financier?
Ha! No. Good
no.
one.
Ha! No. good try, though.
It was classic. Jeff? It was good shit.
No. I think that if I saw some chatter online from some people who were like, Mercedes is too big to debut on a Dynamite. You have to do it at a pay-per-view. And I was like, you're going to wait until March to do it? You're going to wait all the way until March, because that's their next pay-per-view. Yeah. I don't think you're going to wait that long.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you want people to be conditioned to tune into your show. And when they were like, oh, no, you got to save it for a pay-per-view. No, you don't. What you do is You put it on a Dynamite because that's what you're selling the media rights package of right now.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, man. Eloquent says, booking idea. OC issues an open challenge. Ali accepts and defeats OC and proceeds to defend it on his world tour. I love that idea, Eloquent. I absolutely love that. I think that's great.
Yep.
And I don't think it's that unrealistic. Nicholas says, I was so disappointed when PW Insider said there's no plan with WWE and TNA. I asked somebody in WWE and they just told me they didn't have that information right now, unfortunately. And says, also, when do you expect a new WWE Raw rights? Because the stock is stuck at about 80. So a conversation that I had with somebody in WBD was like, well, they got to make sure they get the right deal because the SmackDown deal did not help their stock. I mean, their stock is lower now than it was before they merged the company with WWE. So Super Chat is just for the genius. That's Jim Downey. There you go.
Yep.
There you go. We got somebody saying, oh gosh, Connor McFlogger says, people hate me for saying this, but I'm not a fan of Mercedes. I've seen firsthand how she treats fans. I don't understand how she thinks she can command a huge salary after a brief New Japan run because she is objectively a big star. Now, I don't know what you mean about treating fans. If you mean at the airport, get screwed, because anybody that sits at the airport for autographs is a fucking creep and a weirdo and should be treated like shit. Go somewhere else. Go to a signing. Other than that, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. King of the North says, bring me Deadly Draw and tag medals back. I do not want those damn tag medals. I was like, what the hell are we doing? Even when they did the medals back then.
Yeah.
Man. NY says, Deonna Purrazzo versus everyone. Yes, please, and thank you. I mean, Deonna Purrazzo, I don't know what AEW offered him. I know that originally her deal was going to be up at the beginning of last year. They picked up an option because they had given her a raise of some sort. But there was a world where she probably could have ended up here or WWE a year ago. But she has been one of the most consistent performers in AEW. Her and Jordynne Grace put on some incredible matches. They really found one another there over their several years. But a lot of the stuff she did kicked up some buzz for AEW as well, and main eventing pay-per-views and the like. RJ says, any update on Camille? Yeah, there were several reports, I believe House of Wrestling and PW Insider, that said that she's on WWE's radar. Christian Cage, State of the Union. Shanna Wayne did the full-on Rocco's Modern Life, How Dare You Again.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Cage took aim at Adam Copeland and I don't know what Luchasaurus Killswitch was doing in the background, but I noticed he was barking. He was going rah, repeatedly.
He's a dinosaur. That's part of his culture.
A literal dinosaur. It is. Okay, fair.
I mean,
so it's like us whites just spreading the mayo.
That's right.
We slab mayo all over everything while our friends are cutting promos.
Yes.
What'd you think of Christian Cage's promo?
Listen, I think differing than you, I loved the first Shayna Wayne promo. Yeah. If she's going to do it the same every time, it's going to have very quick diminishing returns. But I did love the first one.
It was the exact same.
I did love the first one. Didn't love the second one because it was exactly the same. But I did love, by the way, it's one of the greatest heel moments in the history of wrestling to me was what he did at World's End, where he stepped in front of the ref to steal the Money in the Bank contract thing from Luchasaurus and whispered something into his ear that made him forlornly hand it over. And then he just cashed in right on the guy, his longtime best friend and rival who had just beaten him 2 minutes prior. What a great moment. So to him then say, I want to thank the guy who laid the final nail in the coffin of Adam Copeland, who secured my victory to become champion, me, myself. That's right. I'm the only person I want to thank for that. I was like, oh, that was great. This was a lot of fun. And I hope this is a shoot. I would love for them to circle back later, but for now, let's get Christian doing some other things, because I think there's a lot more cool feuds for him to have that's not just Copeland over and over again.
Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. I can't tell you how much that helps us. Also, we want to tell you about our great partner at Bet Online, which is flipping up around Alex's little head right there. They have the earliest lines. Their odds opens before the competition. You can bet big with the highest limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 years, so it's not some fly-by-night company. And this is the place where we have gotten our odds for years and years. Like anytime you see me post anything on Twitter or anything on Fightful about odds related to wrestling, it is from Bet Online. It's safe and secure with their online environment. It's got the highest credit card acceptance. Right now, you can go check odds for the MLW show. What other website are you going to find that has MLW odds? My dude Akira favored to beat Ricky Shane Page. We got Jhenai Kai odds. Jhenai Kai betting odds at BetOnline.ag. She is a minus 1,000 favorite. Alex Kane is a minus 5,000 over Richard Holiday. No respect for Richard Holiday. But I'll give you a fun little story from the World's End show. Somebody showed up after our BetOnline.ag read and said, "You convinced me that Samoa Joe was going to win the title tonight, and I paid for my New Year's Eve drinks as a result of that." Look at that. So BetOnline.ag probably looking at me on that show, foaming at the mouth, mad, ready to square up, saying, "We're already working with you. Why are you costing us money too?" Because that's what I do. That's what I do. Satoshi Kojima with a minus 160. Sammy Callahan a plus 120. Jacob Fatu is a plus 250 if he even shows up. If he even shows up. Check it out, guys. BetOnline.ag. From football, baseball, basketball, golf, soccer, tennis, all kinds of stuff. Lots of great same-game parlays as well. Terry Allen Jr. says, "What style of wrestling do you both adore?" I like watching more high-flying stuff, but I don't want to say more high-flying stuff because there's a lot of things that I go, that doesn't make sense. I like wrestling a catch-as-catch-can style, personally, but that's not as exciting for a lot of people to watch. Alex, what's your favorite?
I like wrestling that makes sense. That is I'll, any kind of wrestling, technical grappling style, two big hosses banging into each other, guys flipping all over the place. I love wrestling where I go, that move logically led to that move, and you're telling the story in the ring of the size difference or the experience difference. Honestly, I'm really easy to please as long as the match, as long as there's some urgency from both guys. There don't have to be like stakes involved, but as long as both guys, both women have urgency and they're telling a cohesive story, I'm in on it. But if you ask me, like, narrow it down, whatever Bryan Danielson does, that's the thing for me.
Patrick says, "Any update on the Wendy Richter contract news?" That was a great line. That was a phenomenal line.
That was
great. Nicholas says, "With Naomi expected to be back in WWE, will she be a free agent in time for the Rumble? Could see her and Bianca as a Mania match as well." I could see that. I think it's possible she could be in the Rumble. It was implied to me that maybe Trinity had one or two more sets of tapings. I don't know specifically when, but as of now, WWE expects to be working with her again and wants to be, and told me that unless something falls through, that's the plan. Anything can happen until they sign on that dotted line. That's free agency season, my friends. Boris says, "Mariah is legit. Her versus Hayter at All In LFG." I think we'll have to see who is over to what level around them. Jake says, "I hope that Christian whispered, 'I know what killed the dinosaurs.'" BB says, "As someone who doesn't follow wrestling outside the two main companies, how should AEW introduce people like Mariah or Deonna to wider audiences?" I think the way they've introduced Mariah is perfect. She is a wrestler who adores another wrestler, mm-hmm. and they don't shy away from her experience.
Right.
Deonna being presented as someone who would immediately go for a top title is right. how they should present her as a top main event talent.
And it was an incredible choice to debut her in New Jersey, where if you're watching at home and you don't know who she is because you don't watch Impact, you see the crowd go crazy for her and you immediately perk up and go, oh, she must be a big deal, even though if I don't know about her. But you can find ways of debuting people that may not be known by a very, very wide audience. As long as you do it in the right way, all of a sudden people will stand up and take note.
Tim McFile says, the best heels tell the truth. Great stuff from Cole. All the Wardlow stuff was gold. His facial expressions rock. We're seeing a lot of those out of Harley Cameron as well. And Ruby was like, you know, I wasn't sure how the goofy blonde in our group would work out, but you know what? She's doing all right. And Saraya's like, see, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
This has quickly grown on me.
Yep.
I'm enjoying this. Any thoughts?
We'll see. The only thing that I've seen is this, and then the one where she came out with the butcher knife. So I do love Saraya being like, you're being too obvious about it after Ruby leaves. And Renee's like, what is going on? And Saraya being like, Renee, you know I love you, but shut up right now, okay? And like, I honestly love this interplay. I don't know exactly what's happening here, but I think it can be fun. These are the kind of things that get these women on TV. They're slowly building these stories that I believe are going to lead to something with matches and storylines expanding in a way. This is good.
We've got Monique says Mercedes is the biggest free agent in wrestling. Shouldn't AEW tease her debut like Adam Punk, etc., not just have her show up on a random Dynamite? It's okay. So Monique, I agree. I don't think that you're wrong here. There's two ways that you can weigh it. The spontaneous, anything can happen. You have to watch this show, or the, this is what's happening, you better watch this show type mm-hmm. of thing. I don't think that either one are wrong, but it's a decision that you're faced with as a promoter all the time. Right. Alex, what would you do?
I see both sides. If it were me, I would wonder if it might be interesting, like this Saturday on Collision, to do some kind of vignette where you never see her face, if she signed and you know she signed and you have her and you can work this up with her. Some vignette where you don't see your face, you play music, you hear her laugh or whatever, and then Wednesday. And everyone's tuning in to see that. Like, and because you do run one on TNT and the other one on TBS, they're the same company. So both company, the same company gets the bump in ratings. Maybe it's something like that where you're not being very overt about it. You're just teasing something. But I also, the pop of holy crap, I can't believe I'm here for this from the crowd is always to me like a really cool thing to experience at home watching. So I don't know.
Shot Kid says Harley is the serial killer robot from Futurama. That's a good shout as well.
Yeah.
Dong Phala says, I love how everyone Cole effed over is looking for receipts. Yeah. Yeah, they are. And yeah. While I let my cat out. Oh man, are you telling me I don't have this read on here? Damn it. Man, my cat's just sitting over here like, hey, bro, why don't you let me out? Why, uh-huh. like, where is he? There he is. Look at him. Aww. He sneaks up here and he sleeps. His name is Kofi, actually.
Hey, Kofi.
Come here, buddy. Come here, buddy. He's like, what? What do you want? No, he just wants the door.
He wants the door.
Man, people are calling me Sean Flop Sap because I didn't have the ad read up.
Yeah.
But I do now. Hey, guys. If you know me, you know I got a busy schedule. That's why I'm so happy to tell you about FactorMeals.com/Fightful50. Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. It helps me fuel up and stay ready for breakfast, lunch, dinner, especially when I've got a tight schedule. Their fresh, never frozen meals are prepared in 2 minutes and just keep you on the go. They also have these great lunch to go options that don't require a microwave at all. They've got breakfast options, snack options, dinner options, even high-end gourmet plus options. In addition to that, they have calorie conscious meals, protein packed options, and so much more. They also offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for the production sites and offices. Head over to factormeals.com/Fightful50 and use the code Fightful50 to get 50% off. This is such a versatile meal kit. 35 plus weekly flavor packed, fresh, never frozen meals that promote a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. That's factormeals.com/Fightful50 to get 50% off. Factormeals.com/Fightful50. Say 50%. S. Taylor says, what would you label each U.S. company's identity as? Is WWE the number one sports entertainment? GCW the hardcore one? For AEW, TNA, MLW, NWA? Ooh. I don't think it's fair to put an identity on a lot of these stuff because they're all in the same business.
That's true.
But if I had to, I would probably say New Japan is pretty well strong style wrestling.
Yeah.
AEW, pro wrestling, WWE, sports entertainment. But yeah, and I think that a lot of those other ones are a mix of those.
Yeah.
Trent defeated Brian Cage, Brian Keith, Vikingo, and Trent. Tim says, Happy New Year, everyone. Any word on if the Bounty Hunter is all elite? Hope he is. No, but it would make sense. I hope he is.
Yeah,
they've had him popping up and all that, but we also have somebody asking, where's Pac? Is he still under contract? He is. He's sidelined right now. Brian Keith is really great. He ended up taking the pin here, but I enjoyed this match, and Maddie Nice also asked about Pac. Says, I'm teaming Hangman up with Brian Keith and the Von Erichs if I'm Tony. Thanks for everything. I don't think that's a fit. Hangman's kind of a loner. He did a whole story about his friends and abandoning. You know, it just, I don't know if I want to see that story, so to speak, again. Jamal says, Danhausen should have cursed that Mark Trent Beretta. What do you think about this match that led to Trent getting the title shot against Eddie?
Well, Trent, as Jamal, I'm sure, has super chatted, he's dead to Jamal. He eliminated Danhausen instead of working with Danhausen to eliminate Luchasaurus, kill switch on the 0 hour. And Jamal will never forgive him for that. But it appears that Danhausen has, because the Danhausen came into the ring to curse Brian Cage. So that the guy who eliminated him from the number one contendership battle royal could get the victory. So looks like Danhausen is really a very good friend. He's at least willing to forgive. Trent versus, by the way, Eddie Kingston on commentary is just so amazing. Like this is what I love about AEW. They have all of these amazing color commentators who are masquerading as wrestlers, or not masquerading, but like hidden within a wrestler. Daddy Magic's doing fantastic work whenever he's on commentary. Eddie Kingston is brilliant at it. Chris Jericho sucks. But there's all these other ones who are so good at doing the commentary when they get on. Danielson was a revelation doing commentary for the Mox and Eddie match. I loved Eddie here. He was, oh, no. Like, he could see things coming. He was, like, hoping his fellow wrestlers didn't get hurt because he could see what was about to happen.
Yeah.
I loved watching this match through Eddie's eyes. And Trent versus Eddie is going to be great.
Alan says, how is the Continental Crown defended? Is each title defended separately? Then when the tourney comes around, whoever's holding the three titles is automatically in the tournament. Brother, your guess is as good as mine, and they have not exactly been transparent about all that, but saying that the titles are defended separately.
All I heard today was that Vikingo comes down wearing his belt, and Shivani says if he wins this match, he has a chance to add three more title belts to his person. But if he wins this, he gets a shot against Eddie for all of the belts at once. And I thought they were defended separately.
Oh, boy.
But they said if you win the match versus Eddie, if Trent wins versus Eddie, he gets all three belts. And I did not realize that was the case.
Yeah, that was confusing because they specifically said the Continental Championship. I need some clarity there, or maybe I need to pay attention better, one or the other. GT Gear says, how many major debuts have there been at Daly's Place? Well, a lot of them, because that's where they were sort of forced to be. But Sting, yeah. FTR, Andrade, Eddie Kingston, Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Like, there's quite a few of them that were there considered major then. I consider Konosuke Takeshita and Darby Allin major. This is one of my favorite things I've ever seen on Dynamite, Alex. This was Takeshita beating the living shit out of Darby Allin. He caught Darby Allin on a suicide dive with a big knee. Holy cow. Somebody says Matt Hardy was New York. My bad. But anyway, holy crap, man. This was just phenomenal. This was so good. It was Takeshita throwing Darby around, beating the shit out of him. When I saw that top rope German, I was like, surely not. Surely not. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. And then what happened after that? He pinned him clean as a sheet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hit that knee and pinned him. Listen,
Takeshita there should is be doing.
There is no bigger fan of Darby Allin than me when he loses. There is something that guy does in these matches where he takes a beating like nobody else. Like nobody else. The problem I have with it is when he takes that beating and then somehow wins anyway, because I do not feel like he inflicts enough damage on the other person to believably score a victory after taking the beating that he takes. Takeshita, separately from that, is an absolute star. Like in the ring, there's very few people like him who can move with his alacrity and have his strength. I am super, super excited to see where this 2024 could be the year of fill in the blank with a lot of different people. Swerve, Garcia, Takeshita. Like there's a bunch of people who you could say this is going to be it. And it may not be this year. 2025 may be the year of Takeshita, where he's the champ for like 9 months. There's a lot of really cool stuff they can do with this. I'm just such a huge fan of his. I thought that after he got the victory over Omega, they were going to strap a rocket to his ass and fire him into the sun. And there was the thing with Jericho for a bit, and then that just faded, and I haven't seen them do a lot. Next week, we're going to get Hobbs and Takeshita versus Darby and Sting. And probably either Takeshita or Will Hobbs is getting pinned, probably by Darby. And I'll be angry about that then. But for tonight, I loved this match, and I loved Takeshita getting the victory. Clean.
Tom Lavalley says, at this point, Darby has to be considered AEW's ace. I mean, he has done everything they've asked for him. Mm-hmm. Everything they've asked of him. Photo says, what a freaking match. How is Darby alive? I feel like I have asked that question so many times.
Yeah.
Orion Ben says, I told Luis Takeshita versus Oba is now my dream match. That sounds like that's sicko. That's sicko stuff.
I'm the sicko. I'm the sicko. I'm the sicko outside the window going, yes.
Who do you see Sting putting over at Revolution? I know that he's going to have a major say in it, but it'll be a tag team match. And
yeah, almost certainly.
Whoever he wants is the answer. And I would say probably an established tag team.
Yeah.
Or a tag team that needs established. The knee on the suicide dive. My God, says Tom Lavalley. That was just one of the most disgusting spots I've seen. It got a holy shit chant as well.
Yeah.
Ben Baker says, was just rewatching All Out. Wondered what happened to Takeshita's momentum. Glad to see him booked accordingly. Also, hope BCG get juice back soon. I tried to stay in contact with Juice. He doesn't do social media about recovery and all that. Seems in good spirits, but I don't really have any frame of reference for how long he'll be out. But I know that his back injury is one that he worked through. Like when they had the likely tag team match of the year in the Fightful Awards, 58 minutes, he was dealing with a very severe back injury that entire time.
Yeah.
Hangman Page is back, though. And I love that he interrupted Daddy Magic's promo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm here and I'm going to fight somebody. He's like, here's what I love. He's going to have issues with Cole and company, but he specifically pointed out Joe had them jump me. Joe had them do that. So that will explain pretty soon. If he goes after Joe, that's a specific reason why, which the obvious, he's got a title belt too.
Right, too.
And the one person he didn't mention was the guy who drank his blood on pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But that's the guy that saw him. But before that, we got Swerve Strickland defeating Daniel Garcia. There was a wonderful dance-off at ringside that got the crowd going.
Had to do it.
Prince Nana.
Had to do it. Alex. Had to do it. The dance-off had was great. This was all kinds of fun. Garcia's, talking about how he says, what are you going to do when you beat a guy you just can't keep down? And honestly, he couldn't until he had to break out another house call after the swerve stomp didn't finish him off. And the swerve stomp finishes people. Then he had to hit another house call and then break out the JML driver. I love that they have for Swerve the super finisher. That's not like an avalanche version of his regular finisher. It's just like if the thing he does doesn't work on you, he has another thing he can pull out, and that's it. That's all she wrote. You're not kicking out of the JML driver, and he beats Garcia. He gives out the hand to Garcia, and I honestly thought they were going to shake hands and tell Nana, and it didn't look like it was the plan. Swerve laughed in surprise after Nana went for the low blow from behind. Like, it wasn't like Swerve had no idea that was going to happen, but he did think it was funny as hell. And then Daddy Magic gets involved, and like, this is the year of Swerve. Like, I do believe it needs to be.
It clearly is.
Yeah.
And he said it. He said Samoa Joe.
Yes.
I'm coming for you. I love it. Because
he said, I thought I was going to be addressing MJF with this, but it looks like his body broke. So I'm going after you, Samoa Joe. That's it, man. That's all I need for it. Let's do it.
BCRON says, anyone else hear Nana say bossiest of bosses? Eyeball emoji. That's, you know what? That's kind of clever. That's kind of clever. Michael says, I loved seeing Swerve in the main event tonight. Hopefully a sign of more great things for a future world champion. Felt a lot of similarities between Mariah May and Tiffany Stratton overall. Yeah, there are. But I mean, Mariah May traveled the world to become a better wrestler. And Tiffany Stratton's doing very good at the PC.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Daniel Garcia. He belongs here. He does. It's like looking at Bryan Danielson is almost like a mirror image. And it's so funny because Bryan Danielson is like the wrestler's wrestler, but he is also one of the best sports entertainers to ever do it. He has such an unbelievable charisma and a sense of humor that Daniel Garcia also has. And Daniel Garcia has it for this new generation. Look at how he handles himself on Twitter. Guy can drop a 3-word tweet and go viral on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's very smart about that stuff. And he gets it. He knows how to use it towards his advantage. And the similarities are striking. And it is just very, very clear that this is a guy we're going to be talking about, Lord willing, for the next 20 years at the top levels of pro wrestling. And Tony Khan said it's a guy we're going to be seeing a lot more of, thankfully.
Yeah. He's great. It's one of those things of he's still, again, so young himself. There are kids in middle school right now who are going to come up and have their first matches in AEW when that guy's still in his early 30s. And he'll be the old head taking them under his wing as part of that storyline if he's still in the company. It's crazy how much time we have left with some of these young people. And I'm looking forward to it.
Adam Weller says, I don't love that swerve stomp. The guy's just sitting up unnaturally in a way we don't see otherwise. Takes me out of it an iota. Yeah, I wouldn't mind him. I mean, he's the JML driver is also very, very good.
Yeah, it's great.
But, you know, well, somebody said, will Trump appear on Raw leading to the election? No, absolutely not.
Probably not.
No chance. Anyway, Hangman strolls in, ready to whip ass. And oh my God,
I love this. This is what I begged for. This is Swerve standing there not giving a damn. Is the best part of this for me, because every other guy would like get out of the ring like, no, man, I just finished a long match. I'm not having a fight with you. And Swerve laughed in his face. This is what you've been begging for. As you said, it's Peter versus the chicken. We need one of these every now and then. These two guys. And here's what I love about it is both these guys want Samoa Joe for different reasons, because Samoa Joe's got the title for Swerve. And for that reason, for Hangman, but also because Hangman feels like Samoa Joe gave the green light for him to be taken out. So is that a triple threat? Is that how Swerve becomes champion? Is it a triple threat? Maybe. I don't know. Do these guys have a fight in a cage match or something to have the right to face Samoa Joe? This is what I talk about. There's all these branching pathways. There's a lot of different things they can choose. But I love that we're starting out this way with these two great rivals beating the absolute crap out of each other because they hate each other, and also because there is a new world champion whose belt they need to take. It's great stuff.
Tony Miller says Hangman needs a posse, Brian Keith and Bandido. I wouldn't mind them as backup. Like, they're the Sunset Riders. And you know what? Sure. I kind of dig that as a stable name, too.
Not a bad idea.
Bury me with my money. Jake Neal says, Hangman, I thought I told you to cut those sideburns. Oh, my God. I did reference The Simpsons because I noticed the lighting was much brighter in the ring for AEW. The old Mr. Burns, 40 watts? What is this, a tanning saloon? Meet Normus says Hangman Swerve as Peter Griffin versus the Chicken works for me. It should be on site anytime they're in the same city. Yeah. I agree. Ideally for me, it would have been with two developing talents that you can get into, but I'm completely fine with this as well. And honestly, it's a story you can run back multiple times. Mm-hmm. Taker and Brock did it a little bit. Bronson and Ivar did it recently a little bit, but I like this. Dong Fallis says, headed for a three-way with Joe, Page, and Swerve. I think so.
I would like that.
If that's a title match or a pay-per-view, whoo. Oh, I'm hoping it's at Greensboro. I'm going to that just for Sting's thing. Yeah, won't go to the four-hour scrum afterwards, but I'm going for Sting.
Yeah.
And, oh, that would be so good. That would be so good. Easy way to keep Swerve chasing without losing. Third Page Swerve match, booking paradox with this timing. I think that maybe a third Page Swerve match is maybe how we get to the triple threat.
Perhaps.
Like both of these guys are like, okay, I want the match. No, you want the match. And then maybe the match doesn't happen or something happens to where they both pin each other or the like. But man. It was a hell of an AEW Dynamite tonight. It was a lot of fun. Luis says, last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. We greatly appreciate all you guys. Ricardo says, Deonna for women's champ before Mercedes. Gimme. It's just, I'm interested in seeing what Mercedes would do. Like, where would they have her slotted? What would be the thing that she goes after? Mm-hmm. Or like, you never know. Like, would it be, you know, like a returning Brit cuts a promo and then Mercedes is back? Like,
maybe
there's a lot of ways they could go if they didn't want to make it a title match. Her against Brit is certainly a marquee level match.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of ways you can do that, but
yeah.
Is the Collision set the new main set? I'm going to find out about this, but I liked the updated look.
Me too. I like it a lot.
Alex, what do you got going on? FightfulSelect.com, obviously.
Yes.
A big going really well. We got free agent news all week.
Mm-hmm. Fightful Select will be doing the Rampage watch along, talking about SmackDown on Friday, talking about Collision. Looks like a really good one this Saturday as well. Monday, talking Raw. seeing what's going on with CM Punk is back. He took 2 weeks off. He was so tuckered out from not doing anything his first couple nights on Raw. He decided to take 2 weeks off.
He was backstage on January 1st. Like, why not have him interact with somebody backstage? It's so weird to me.
But we'll talk about that on Monday. Tuesdays, obviously, on this very channel, the NXT review. And then it looks like we're going to be starting it out maybe once, maybe twice a month on Select as well. Kate and I have a new thing called This Is Cinema, where we review movies starring wrestlers. Our first one was kind of a double episode because we reviewed both of the ridiculous faith-based movies starring Chris Jericho that were on Up TV this past fall. Just absolute dreck. And I think we're trying to do this month Money Plane. We're starting out hot. We're going with Money Plane. So look for that on Fightful Select, new show from the Sour Graps people every month on Fightful Select.
Guys, thank you all so much. I'm going to swing by the SmackDown post show on Friday. Maybe the Impact post show or ROH post show, depending on whatever this Triple H announcement is. But I got my Q&A on Fightful Select this week, and the free agency news is going to continue globally. $5 a month, $54 a year. Please leave a thumbs up. Until next time, we're out.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.